Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Daily in the Word. The purpose of this program is to encourage God's people daily through God's Word. The message you're about to hear is based on Scripture that will encourage, challenge, and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. I'm thrilled that you're tuning in today, and it's my prayer that you'll be encouraged by God's incredible Word. Thanks again for your prayers and your support. May God richly bless you today.
Do you ever have trouble balancing all the competing demands of your life? From family, to friends, to church, to career, to finances, and all the things that are crying out for your attention and navigation. Balancing life is a challenge, and that's why we are going to study today, Stewarding Life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Pastor Chappell has written a companion book to this series entitled Stewarding Life. You can find out more about this series and the book when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Today we are going to talk about stewarding our time. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
How many men have I known who do not get to watch a child's ball game, who don't have the opportunity to love their wife as they should, who don't take the opportunity to serve God as they should because they want to work a little extra, make a little extra, because their calendar is just too full? And when your calendar is too full for God and God's house and your wife and your children, your calendar is just too full, you'd be very wise to put aside your motorcycle, put aside your little friends that you go out and drink Budweiser with, and put aside whatever else it is that takes you away from the very main things that are the will of God for your life. Listen, we need to have a wise walk in this day. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee, what's the next word say? Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them which are without, redeeming the time. Walking in wisdom means walking and doing that which matters most. And a wise Christian gets up and says, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What is that activity that pleases you today in my work and with the family and with my witness? And Lord, I want to walk with wisdom today so that I don't waste time. I want to preserve time to your glory. It's going to take a cautious walk if we're going to please the Lord in walking in wisdom. And then secondly, it is a calculated walk. This idea of just going through the motions has never been the will of God for our lives. Just waking up tomorrow, watching some TV and hanging out. One of the things I used to hate hearing the most when I had teenagers, I'd say, what are you going to do today? They'd say, oh, we're just hanging out. And I'd say, don't just hang out. Idleness is the devil's workshop. Plan your plan and work your plan, but get that plan from God. Lord, what do you want me to do today, right? A calculated walk. Look at verse 16. It says, redeeming the time. Redeeming. The word redeem speaks to regain a possession or to exchange for a payment. And it means to make the most out of something. God says, I want you to make the most out of the time I've given to you. Now, in the Greek, there are two words for time, and this is just a little interesting word study for me this morning, and I thought you might find it interesting as well. The first word is the word chronos, and it's the word that describes hours and minutes and seconds. It's the word that talks in the sense of a measurement of time. And the second word is the word that's found in this text, and it is the word kairos. And this particular word denotes a season or an epoch or an allocation of time. The word is also found in Galatians 6:1, which I believe is in your notes. Galatians 6:1 says this, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those that are of the household of faith. Notice the word there, opportunity. It's the word kairos. And so here's what God is teaching us. He says, I want you to redeem the time, redeem the opportunity, redeem the season that I've given you called life. In other words, every one of us are given time in this world, an opportunity in this world, and God wants us to use that for His honor and His glory. In your notes, I have listed this thought, having sovereignly bounded our lives with eternity. God knows both the beginning and the end of our time on earth. As believers, we can achieve our potential in his service only as we maximize the time that he has given to us. So he says, I want you to calculate this thing called time. I want you to redeem the time. Why, Lord? Why are you so serious about this challenge? Notice the next phrase. Because, he says, the days are evil. Now, folks, many Christians get saved and they know they're forgiven and they're on the way to heaven, but they waste their life in evil living. They waste their life in sinful living or even in just time wasting. The Bible says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Now, it was an evil day at Ephesus. Let me tell you what. This city that Alexander the Great first influenced and then became a great Roman city in the Roman Empire, they had many, many advancements for a first century city. They had water that ran into many of the homes. They had various types of advancements, even a fire department there in Ephesus. They had libraries, but they had paganism as well. I think of this temple of Diana where they would gather together and they would have in parts of their worship orgies, and they would have various types of sensuality and demonic type of activity. And it was a very evil, wicked place under the guise of religion. And no wonder Paul says to them, hey, wake up. That's a bunch of nonsense, he says. And redeem the time because the days are evil. Oh, they had their library, the Library of Celsus, and many tablets and books of one of the wonders of the world at that time, but much of it was evil and given to licentiousness and wickedness. And so he says, you need to redeem the time because the days are evil. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize we're raising our children in an evil day? This is not the time to raise your family on HBO. This is the time to raise your family on the BIBLE. This is not the time to sit around wasting time in frivolous activities. Oh, listen, if your children are in a public school, this is the time to make sure they're not putting these texts in that are lifting up wicked, ungodly lifestyles. Listen, my friend, this is the time to get involved with your children and read the Bible to your children. Listen, redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil, and we've got to take every moment to teach our children what is right. Yes, to bring them to the house of God and let them hear the word of God. And perhaps enroll them into a Christian school, take them out and play football with them and teach them how wonderful God is and the wonderful creation of God and the wonderful Son of God. Mark 6:13-33 says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. You see, Jesus is coming again, and we want to preserve every moment to the glory of God. What is the priority of time, Pastor Chapel? The priority of time is that you would awake from sin and be saved. What is the preservation of time? The preservation of time comes when we walk circumspectly and when we redeem the time. But I want you to notice, thirdly, this morning, the purpose of time. What is the purpose of time? Now, I said this earlier, but do you ever ask this question, Lord, why am I left on this earth when others have been taken? What's the purpose of it? We cannot answer every question in that same way, or could we answer every thought about the purpose of time, but we can give you an insight today that leads you in that right direction. Notice, if you would, here in verse number 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, in a nutshell, I believe the purpose of time is to discover and live out the will of God. The purpose of this time on this earth is to discover and live out the will of God for us. Now, let me tell you in this matter of the purpose of time then, letter A, seek the wisdom of God. Seek the wisdom of God. Look at what it says there. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. You see, don't live your life without wisdom. How many men today and how many women just kind of go with their flow and go with their emotions and just kind of going from day to day, from hour to hour with their work? Adrian Rogers once said, there is enough time in every day to do everything that God wants you to do and to do it gracefully. Now, if we're going to get everything done that God wants us to do, and if we're going to do it gracefully, how many of you would agree with me? We need the wisdom of God to do that. We need the wisdom of God. I think of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of his perfect life, 33 and a half years. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. The Roman soldiers then, after Jesus carried his cross and after Simeon helped him carry the cross up Golgotha, the Roman soldiers nailed his hands and feet to the cross. His blood was now flowing for your sins and mine. The Roman soldiers pierced his side with the spear, thrust the vinegar into his mouth, and shortly thereafter he made his seven sayings on the cross. His last saying was simply stated, "Tetelestai, it is finished." What a wonderful thought that the work of redemption was finished. The shedding of the blood, the pain, it was finished. But more than that, the purpose for his coming to this world was finished, accomplished. He said, "It is finished." Why? Because the purpose that Jesus had in coming was not merely the performing of miracles or the teaching of good things, but fundamentally his purpose was to provide a blood atonement, because without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission for sin. And when he said, "It is finished," he said, "My purpose for coming here is finished." And I want to challenge you men and women this morning, don't live your life and miss your purpose. When your final breath is drawn, be able to say, "I have finished what God wanted me to finish on this planet." Don't waste your days here. Don't waste your time here. Don't miss your purpose here. That's why Psalm 90:12 has always convicted me. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, you see. Teach us, Lord, to remember. And stewarding time with wisdom, you begin to gather thoughts along the way that come from the Lord. He'll speak to you about the use of your time. He'll remind you. He's given me many lessons, and over the years I've been convicted many times that I didn't use my time as wisely as I should. One thing I've learned is that what God gives me is sustainable. He's not going to give me so many things to do that I can't get it done in the time he's given to me. I've learned sometimes an opportunity does not equal an obligation. In other words, you can't always do everything that avails itself to you. You've got to say, "Lord, help me to know what is good, better, and best here, because I want to do the best." I've learned that I need to identify on the few things that are the most important things. What matters most, Lord? What is going to matter when I stand before you at the judgment seat of Christ? I've learned that tarrying times are not idle times or wasted times. Sometimes waiting on the Lord is good use of our time. You see, God says, "I want you to find my wisdom in this matter of time." Seek the wisdom of God. And then secondly, the purpose of time is to seek the will of God. To seek the will of God. Now, there is always time for the will of God, and his will may be clearly found in his word. Now, let me just say this by way of illustration. Most people today are not living their lives in a cognizant pattern of living out the will of God. Most people are just going through the motions. "Well, got to get up tomorrow, have some coffee, preferably intravenously if I can get it that way." Some of you would, right? And there's nothing wrong with patterns and rhythms. I think that is good. Some of you, it's, you know, you got to be to Starbucks by 5 in the morning, or you got to have your coffee by 6:12, or maybe you exercise, maybe you drive down somewhere and you pop into work and it's all over again. But the fact of the matter is that there are times in our life when we need to pull out of that rush for a minute and we just need to say, "Lord, am I doing okay? Am I rushing where you want me to rush? Are my priorities what you want for my life? Is there someone that you want me to minister to, and I've been so busy that I've not really ministered the way I should?" Look at how some people do it in James 4, would you? James 4:13. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." In other words, this is the guy that's just kind of doing his 8 to 5, you know. Verse 14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And so God says, "Wait a minute now, don't just go through your days, your minutes, your seconds like, 'I'll do this, I'll do that.' Think about your life a little bit." And look at verse 15, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So the purpose of this life is, Lord, what do you want me to do right now? Good morning, Lord. It's time for my prayer time with you. It's time for my Bible reading. Lord, help me today to live the way you want me to live. Lord, help me to find your will to do this or that. And it is amazing that when we ask God to show us, he does. He'll direct us to someone in need. He'll direct us to someone who hasn't heard the gospel. He'll remind us of our children, of our grandchildren, of our spouses. He'll show us that he wants us to invest time in something that really matters. And he'll show us his purpose for our life. Now, we don't have time to get into all the areas of God's will. There are many specific mentions in the scripture. But I want to give you two this morning before we close. The first one I mentioned in the first point. It is God's will that everyone be saved. It's God's will that everybody knows his son Jesus. I can tell you that based upon the, look, there's a lot of things I can't tell you God's will, and I'm certainly not pretending to play God and to know God's will. You might come to me and say, Pastor, should I buy a Chevy or a Ford? I can't tell you God's will in that. I can give you a good idea that you should buy a Ford. But I can't tell you God's will in that particular matter, okay? But I can tell you it is God's will for you to know his son, Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in 1 Timothy 2. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men, notice, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. Now, everybody knew that on 911, the rescuers were rushing into that rubble for one reason, and it was to save lives. They were hopeful to recover survivors that day. Nobody was voicing concern, however, about something else that was lying deep below the rubbish, deep below the rubble. You see, beneath Tower 2, the Comex Trading Company and Mercantile Exchange, had about $230 million of gold and silver bullion in their safes. Those millions of dollars of gold and silver had become inaccessible by the collapsing and melting of the towers, and most people weren't even aware that it was there. You see, even those who knew that it was there had but one thought on their mind, and that one thought on their mind was saving the people under the rubble. That was all that really mattered. That's what mattered the most. And times of crises frequently help us to identify the real priorities in life. And the Bible says in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And again, on this day, as we consider the purpose of time, look at my friend, the great purpose of life is not understanding the stock market or making the best investment or climbing to the top of the ladder in your career field. The great purpose of time is not getting all that you can get. The great purpose of this life and the great priority of this life is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Doesn't say in the Bible it's God's will for everyone to become millionaires like this health and prosperity movement says. It doesn't say in the Bible it's God's will for everyone to be the CEO of their company. If God blesses you materially and financially, praise the Lord. If you become the CEO, praise the Lord. But it does say that God's will is for you to receive his son, Jesus. That's his will. And may I say, church, on this day, when we remember 911, and when many are trying to remember without a godly perspective, may I say to you that it is the will of God that others be saved? It is God's will that those who do not know his son would know his son. Not just those of us in this room, but those who you know at work, those who live in your neighborhood, those who are without hope and without Christ. Look at 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Someone said, I just don't believe in a God that would send people to hell. My friend, God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. That's why he sent his only begotten son to die for the sins, not just of a few, but for all who would believe on his precious name. Let's not just spend our time then on this earth Let's invest our time in getting the gospel message out to those who need to know about Jesus Christ. A few days after 911, Mayor Rudy Giuliani began making the rounds to different churches and houses of worship. One of his stops was the Brooklyn Tabernacle, pastored by Jim Cimbala. They had a few of their members. One was an EMT and one was a police officer. Both perished in the towers. Rudy Giuliani stood and he said some things that day that he may himself not even have understood the theological significance. But he said before the Brooklyn Tabernacle, "You know, people, I've learned something through all this. Let me see if I can express it to you. When everybody was fleeing that building and the cops and the firefighters and the EMS people were heading into it, do you think that any of them said, 'I wonder how many blacks are up there for us to save,' or 'how many whites are up there,' or 'how many Jews are up there?' Do you think they said, 'I wonder how many make $400,000 or $24,000 a year?' No. When you are saving lives, they're all precious. And that's how we're supposed to live all the time. How would you want the cops to treat you if you were on the 75th floor that day? Would you want them to say, 'Excuse me, we've got to get the bosses out first?' 'Not exactly,' the mayor said. 'I confess I haven't always lived this way, but I'm convinced that God wants us to do it. He wants us to value every human life the way he does.'" And I underscore the words of the mayor. And I remind you as Christians today, according to the word of God, we are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And we're to go to this entire world, not just to a segment, not just to a culture, not just to one or two types of people, but we're to go to everyone, black, brown, red, white, whatever the color might be, my friend. They are all precious in his sight. They all need help. They all need forgiveness. They all need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not willing that any of them would perish, but that all of them would be rescued. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Duty demands it. Oh, let the lower lights be burning. Throw out the lifeline. You see, the songwriters of old reminded us that this matter of soul winning is not just kind of a thing we do once in a while. That's why we have a big kickoff this Wednesday night to get partnered up and trained and to learn how to go out and tell others, because we don't know every matter of God's will for everyone, but we know it is God's will for everyone to know his son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. Do you know him as your Savior? And if you do, are you stewarding the time he's given to you?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And today, he's been teaching a series entitled Stewarding Life. Dr. Chappell has written a companion book to this series by the same title, Stewarding Life. You will enjoy this incredibly encouraging book. It is a wonderful resource as a follow-up study tool for today's series. You can find out more about this book when you visit strivingtogether.com.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I'm delighted to tell you about a product that I believe can effectually change your daily life. It's the Stewarding Life Planner. Life is a gift from God, and when God gives us a gift, he expects us to steward it well. And as you consider the many gifts that God has given to you, God then requires of you a faithful stewardship. Too often in our lives, we spend much time doing that which is good, but not that which is best. And so the Stewarding Life Planner is something that I believe every Bible-believing Christian can use on a daily basis to cause you to focus in on God's priorities, to steward God's priorities, and to turn around 365 days from now and say, "I stewarded this life wisely to the glory of God." I trust that you'll take a moment today and order your own copy of Stewarding Life Journal.
The Stewarding Life Planner by Dr. Paul Chappell is designed to equip you to biblically steward each day to the glory of God. This planner provides one stewardship page for every day of the year and is an excellent tool for balancing the multifaceted roles of your life. You can purchase your copy when you visit strivingtogether.com. Once again, that's strivingtogether.com. We realize sometimes interruptions can happen when you listen to these studies, but you can hear what you missed by going to our website at dailyintheword.org. Today's full broadcast is available there. In fact, you can even download an MP3 and listen at your own convenience. Either way, it's free of charge. We hope that you'll remember it's your support that keeps these studies coming your way. I encourage you to jumpstart your day with inspirational messages from Pastor Paul Chapel. Sign up now and receive daily devotionals emailed directly to your inbox. Whether you are home, at the office, or on the go, make God's Word a part of your day. You'll be encouraged, challenged, and energized to grow in your relationship with God every morning. Visit dailyintheword.org and register for your free daily devotionals from Pastor Chapel today. We would love to hear from you as a listener and know that Daily in the Word is touching your life. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org. There you'll find links to Pastor Chapel's newest resources, his blog posts, recent podcasts, and many other resources that will encourage you in your spiritual growth. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.